Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is one of the most beautiful and comforting psalms in all of Scripture, Psalm chapter 23. You know, I think almost all of us love the many depictions of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, whether it's in paintings or in stained glass or in other forms of art. But the most beautiful painting of all is the word painting in God's own word, describing how Jesus is our Good Shepherd and provides us with so many rich blessings right here in Psalm 23. There are six verses in Psalm 23, and each one of them describes a different blessing that the Good Shepherd gives to us. And I want to share those six blessings of the Good Shepherd with you today. Now, the first one, number one, the first blessing our Good Shepherd gives us is contentment. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We live in a world in which people are hard to satisfy. I mean, there's no end to the wants of people. I want, I want, I want, I want this, I want that. People are unsatisfied and they constantly crave more. People in our society today have trouble distinguishing between their wants and their needs. It's hard to be content in this world. It's a real challenge to experience contentment in this world. We live in a world of constant commercials and advertising that tell us we deserve more. We deserve better. You deserve a break today. You deserve to use hair care products because you are worth it. It's hard to be content in this world that we live in, but there is a secret to contentment. And that secret is found in Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." The secret of contentment is found in Jesus Christ. The secret of contentment is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is the only one who can truly meet all our needs. He meets our physical needs. He teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And of course, daily bread talks about all the needs of our body and our life. The Lord does want us to pray about those things, and the Lord meets those physical needs day after day after day, even when we forget to give thanks to him for doing so. But more importantly, he meets our greater need, our spiritual needs. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Lord gives us spiritual food for us to eat and to drink. "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." He meets all of our needs, physical and spiritual, and gives us many more blessings besides. We can truly be content under the care of our Good Shepherd. Number one, he gives us contentment. Number two, he gives us peace. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." We live in a world where people are overwhelmed with busyness. There's always so much to do and so much yet to be done. We feel anxious, worried, and stressed out about so many things. We're constantly fearful and anxious. Compare the stress and anxiety of the world that we have created for ourselves compared to the verse, Psalm 23, verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." What a beautiful picture of peace that is. Sheep grazing in a meadow, lying down near a still pond, resting on lush green grass. Just thinking about that picture gives us a sense and spirit of peace inside our hearts. And it is exactly the opposite of the world that we live in. But that world of peace, is what we long for. And that is what Jesus offers us. Because Jesus, you see, is the Prince of Peace. He wants to give us peace in our hearts and in our minds. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14, verse 27. I love that last part because Jesus defines what peace truly is. It is the absence of fear or anxiety in our hearts. Now, we have this peace first and foremost through the forgiveness of sins, which Christ brings to us in word and sacrament. We have nothing to worry about when it comes to our relationship with God. God extends his peace to us through our Savior Jesus. And now we have nothing to worry about with our relationship to him or our eternal salvation. Because we are right with God, we can bring our worries and anxieties, our problems and our fears, we can bring them to the Lord in prayer. And that's what exactly he invites us to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In this verse, God invites us that if we have any fears or worries, anything that is taking our peace away from us, we don't need to hold on to them. Rather, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. And when we do that, he promises that he will hear us and he will help us. And so the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God, our good shepherd, gives us these blessings. Number one, he gives us the blessing of contentment. In verse two, he gives us the blessing of peace. In verse three, he gives us the blessing of righteousness. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's not merely the shepherd of our physical bodies, although he does take wonderful care of that. He is the shepherd of our soul. He meets our greatest spiritual need, which is the need for righteousness. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. There is not anyone who ever does that which is righteous. We all fall short of God's standard of perfection. Not one of us is righteous in his sight, which is why we need the good shepherd to restore us and lead us on the right path. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord leads us in paths of righteousness and restores our soul. He does more than give us a good example. He literally gives us his righteousness. That's what the cross is all about. On the cross, we gave Jesus all of our sin. And in exchange, he gave us his perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So he does more than just be a good example for us to follow. He literally gives us his righteousness. And that righteousness is offered to us through the gospel. Romans 1:17 says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This gospel of righteousness is offered to us in the means of grace. The means of grace personally bring us the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won on the cross. And of course, the means of grace are the Holy Scriptures, Holy Baptism, and Holy Communion. In these sacred gifts, God gives us His very own forgiveness, a gift of righteousness, the free gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. In verse 1, God, our good shepherd, gives us the blessing of contentment. In verse 2, He gives us the blessing of peace. Verse 3, He gives us His own righteousness. And now in verse 4, He gives us the blessing of comfort. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Verse 4 is very powerful because we all know about the valley. You know, I wish life in this world was all green pastures and still waters, but it's not. We all get to go through the valley. Now, the valley looks different for all of us. We might all be in a different part of the valley. It might be a health crisis, a financial difficulty, a relationship that is going through turmoil. It might be even the grim specter of death, which hovers over each and every one of us. Valley looks different to each one of us, but we're all going through it. But the good news for you and I is we never walk through that valley alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, there's something very interesting about that verse that I want you to notice. Did you notice the shift? The first three verses that speak about the Lord as our shepherd, the Lord is spoken of in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He restores my soul. But here in verse 4, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, all of a sudden it shifts to the second person. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Have you ever noticed how things change when you're in the valley? How God seems to be so much closer when we're going through the difficult times? The Bible says that the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. And that has been so true in our lives, hasn't it? Now, it's not that the Lord is any closer than He is at any other time, but the Lord Jesus is always with us, every step of the way. But it's when we are in the valley that we truly can notice His presence. He's always been there, but we were too busy to notice. But it's in the valleys that we really understand who the Lord is. Who is He? He's our friend. He is our helper. He is our guide. He is our comfort. And He is our shepherd who will lead us not into the valley. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And He promises to be with us every step of the way, giving us His comfort. Which comfort is that? The greatest comfort of all. The comfort of the resurrection. The comfort of the empty tomb. You see, we walk with a shepherd who has defeated our most powerful enemy. He has defeated death itself. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 22. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Death no longer holds terror for us. We have the greatest comfort in all the world. the comfort of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Lord gives us his blessings in this psalm. In verse 5, he gives us the blessing of joy. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. An overflowing cup is a symbol of joy that the good shepherd gives to us, right? We have the banquet, which is an endless feast. Of course, that's pointing towards the Lord's Supper, the Lord's banquet. A banquet fit for a king, a banquet given by the King of Kings himself. It is the feast of victory for our Lord. But that overflowing cup is a symbol of that joy that the Good Shepherd gives to us. God gives us an overflowing life filled with overflowing blessings. You see, your Good Shepherd, Jesus, wants to fill you with his joy. In fact, that's exactly what he says he intends to do in John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You know, everybody talks a lot about happiness and everybody wants to be happy and there's nothing wrong with happiness. It's a good thing. But the Lord wants you to be more than happy. Happiness is too shallow. It's too fleeting for the Lord. The Lord wants you to be more than happy. He wants you to be filled with joy. And not just any joy, his joy, the joy he has in his relationship with the Father. A powerful, overwhelming, eternal joy. A joy that will last the test of time. A joy that will last forever. He wants a joy in you that is so great that you can't possibly contain it because your cup is overflowing. The Lord wants us to live an overflowing life. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. He gives us blessing after blessing, so many that we can't help but be generous. And in the same way, he gives us so much joy, we can't possibly contain it. We must give it away to others. You must spread that joy of the Lord wherever you go. That's the overflowing joy that the Lord wants for you. That's what he promises. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Finally, this magnificent psalm comes to a magnificent conclusion in the final verse, the sixth verse. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So many blessings that the Lord has given us. In verse 1, the blessing of contentment. In verse 2, the blessing of peace. In verse 3, the blessing of righteousness. In verse 4, the blessing of his comfort. In verse 5, the blessing of his joy. And in verse 6, his goodness and his mercy. God is good. God is kind. God is caring. And God is love. And the Lord wants you to personally know his goodness and his mercy. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." So the goodness and mercy of the Lord that he wants you to know, the eternal love he has for you, the eternal love that he has given you through our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Psalm 23 is all about God leading his people, his flock, through the joys and the challenges of life until he finally leads them to their destination. God in Psalm 23 is leading his people, but he does not lead them in circles. He has a destination in mind, a place that he is taking us. And that place is nothing less than the house of the Lord himself. Jesus promised, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." God's not leading us to some strange place. He's leading us home, to our true home, heaven. The home God has prepared for you is perfect. And it's full of all these blessings. It's full of his peace. It's full of his joy. It's full of his goodness. And it's full of his mercy. And God wants us to experience his goodness and mercy for more than a lifetime, for more than 20 lifetimes or 1,000 lifetimes. God wants us to experience his goodness and mercy forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord, not for a long time, but forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.